Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Drew Michael, with Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, a visit from Vinny Tortorich, and Gina presents her newest recipe for Eat Your Feelings. And now, a man who's done plenty of goofing, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, a choice but to get it on, mandate get on, thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. It's so easy to share the show because it's free. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I'm here. I'm queer.
Vinny Tortorich in studio. So much. So much to talk to Vinny about. We're going to eat our feelings as well. Drew Michael, a very interesting stand-up comedian. Very interesting. I'm very excited to talk to this young man. I saw a special on HBO, and I'm and funny because I did not know Gerard Carmichael was the director, but they're very interesting, and they both have a lot of similarities. And I watched Gerard's stand-up special as well, and I thought it was very great. So we'll get into that. Unfinished business. It is Mr. LaBeef or Mr. Beef or whatever it is. It's not LaBeef. It's Beef, as Brian said.
There you go.
It's spelled in a weird L-O-U or L-A-U or LaBeef kind of way.
You would look at it and think, oh, LaBeef.
But he is from True Grit. Matt Damon is
got a clip.
Beef, which I don't like. Because it'd be funny if it was more, we could tie it into the Kavanaugh thing. But he says his name.
My name is LaBeef.
Yeah.
There it is. And as Gina was saying, off the air and on the air, maybe LaBeef is like beef
in French.
Beef.
LaBeef.
So I guess the master filmmakers that are the Coen brothers, he took his... my wife's maiden name is Paradiso, but it's Paradise.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you come here, you just say Paradise.
The Anglo version.
He just got the Anglo pronunciation of his French name, I guess.
Thickening the plot, I wonder if, this would take some research, but I wonder if, you know, it's a remake, of course, the John Wayne movie.
Yeah.
In the original, is it LaBeef or LaBeef?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, Max Panner. You got your marching orders.
They're going to stream that movie.
All right. Speaking of Vinny, boy, did I have like a 1-2 gut punch of things that drive me insane yesterday. We've talked about, I've said many times, I'm pretty good at the, you know, just keep walking with the carbs or don't pull into the In-N-Out Burger, just keep driving kind of thing. When people walk through my door with bags of In-N-Out food,
that's
and I'm standing in the kitchen and they go, we got you a double-double.
You're only human.
Yeah, come on.
That makes it almost impossible.
You're just
and then,
a man.
As I've said, with the kids and the wife that are on a full carb fest all day, every day, I just stand there and I open the fridge and I have to try to look past all the yumminess.
ASAG, all sugar, all grain.
Ironically, that I pay for.
Yeah.
100%.
As to the.
We hit a new low last night. And we've had a few, but we do a lot of. And the kids are kids. So kids are all just sort of carb crazy.
French fries, chicken nuggets.
Right. All that stuff. And
for real, though, all the time with the.
Oh, no.
Sonny has announced that he's starting his Halloween diet. That he is moving toward Halloween.
Candy corn based.
Did he set you guys down as a family? Mom, dad?
He did it last year. He switched from Raisin Bran for breakfast to an egg starting the beginning of this month or starting yesterday because he's taking it easy heading toward his Halloween
getting
payday.
His insulin balance.
Yeah, he really has that kind of forethought.
It's a weird.
He's a Carolla.
He's dominating our fantasy league. He clearly plans ahead.
I've tried to sort of beat into him that delayed gratification is the only path to success a million times. And he's starting to kind of understand that the Halloween candy is much better if there's some do without coming up into Halloween. Like, he's literally realizing, I can enjoy a mini Snickers bar more,
more.
If I have scrambled eggs for breakfast for a few weeks leading into it. But last night was an all-time low because we never thought I'd live in this world. First off, I come home frequently to find huge pizzas just laying around. Like, you know, Lynette will buy them and deal them. She'll deal them like a
blackjack,
like a blackjack dealer. She'll just come in and stack them.
She'll sprint around the table, just mix them up.
She'll mix them up. She'll do the and then she'll give me the break card, put it in the boot, and then she'll just start dealing.
You cut the deck?
They'll be dealt. Like, I got home the other weekend. I got home Sunday night. There were two different kinds of pizzas. Like, anyway, I came home Sunday night from the racetrack. It's always most vulnerable. It's long road trip coming home Sunday night. It's just there.
Yeah.
So last night, Lynette and I are going out for our anniversary, our 16th anniversary, and we're going to go enjoy ourselves minus the kids. Natalia.
Oh, my God. It's exciting.
It was exciting. Natalia announces that she wants to use Grubhub and have food delivered to the house. Now, we have a fridge full of carbs. Don't get me wrong. Pasta. Okay. They love pasta. Pasta and pizza and everything else. Yeah. But we're going out, and she sees it as an opening. There's an opportunity. Right. We're going to go out and celebrate. She knows I'm running up against it. I'm running around all the time. She gets a call. You know, we need food. And
what's
it's
Olga going to do? Cook?
Olga.
That's all she does.
Ooh, we've just added to my trifecta of things that pain me. Mm. Olga's getting paid, but she's not around. Also, we have a nanny for essentially adult children, which is that's a subject for another day. But Olga's getting paid full freight. Her daughter's getting married to Emmy. Mm-hmm. That's coming up on Saturday. She's taking the week off. But don't worry, I'm going to make it all back because she needs to borrow my van so she can move stuff for the wedding. So that's how I get it back. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's how I get rich.
You get even in the end.
Yeah. I love Olga. But now it's tougher sledding for me because I can get Olga down with my low-carb mission because she now sees that the kids are practically teenagers, and she's now my nanny, essentially. So she's cooking up the low-carb recipes for me. But she's gone. We go out to the restaurant. Natalia announces that could we get the Grubhub to bring us some food. I go, yeah, fine. And she has one of her friends with her as well. I then come home last night after the dinner to find a large cheese pizza with two pieces missing, but all the cheese from those two pieces piled on the side of the cardboard box.
Sure, the one redeeming quality.
And then I walk into Sonny's room and I see a bag from Shake Shack.
Damn.
And I said,
living large.
Where the hell is a Shake Shack?
Wait a minute, where'd you guys order from that has Shake Shack? Shake Shack has pizza? No, we went to two places.
Two rounds.
My friend wanted pizza. I wanted the Shake Shack. She doesn't like cheese on her pizza. I now have 11 pieces of cheese pizza and the cheese. Of course, I can't throw away the cheese in a Ziploc bag that's in my refrigerator. So it has joined the Mount Rushmore of carbs that is already in there. Now I paid for the Shake Shack and the pizza. I'm staring at the pizza now in a box sitting on the floor in my daughter's room.
There's a lot to unfold
here. Yeah, there's
a lot to go through. Let's unpack
this. First, you have a kid who's eating only the crust of pizza.
Oh, that's rough.
That's
not my kid. Just a kid.
That's a, you know, if you're bowling trying to get a split, I mean, that's a tough bowl right there. That's a tough
bowl.
That's
mule ears.
Oh, yeah. that's a rough one. I've never heard of this. It doesn't exist in nature.
I don't know. How about the guy who's underwriting the whole operation?
Well, that's question number two.
I didn't know you could have two separate places show up at the same time.
But is that the same Grubhub guy, or is there two Grubhub guys showing up?
Probably two Grubhub guys.
Or can you tell the first Grubhub guy, hey, listen, after you swing by the Domino's, go hit up, you know,
I have no idea how
the
it
Shake
works.
Shack.
The two Grubhub guys show up, one with a fistful of Shake Shack, one with a pizza. Dude, you're here for it must be so fucking high in there, man. Ding dong. Sunny and Italia open it up. They're confused.
All right. Let me tell you first. I forgot. Did I give our love to some of our sponsors for this first? Castrol, Dos Equis, and what else
doesn't
we got
sound
there?
Familiar.
Oh, yeah. I had Dos Equis, Castrol, and I'll tell you the rest in a minute. So we'll get into that. But. Yeah, so now there's this. So now there's piles of pizza and wow. On top of pizza. This is our third pizza. This is outside pizza. I didn't want this pizza. This is just a friend bringing the pizza. They're kids, so they get a large, you know, cheese. The petite little
wow.
girl eats
yeah.
two pieces minus
That's
the cheese.
That.
Now, my wiring is we can't throw away the cheese and we can't throw away the pizza. Mm-hmm. And now I have to think of ways to bring the pizza in and force employees to eat the pizza who aren't down with the program. I can't throw the pizza away. I can't eat it myself.
Can the cheese be reconstituted? I'm asking Gina now from her segment. Can the cheese be reconstituted in any way? Put on top of some eggs maybe? Or
I can use that.
That's a tough putt.
Yeah,
but can you imagine being at a friend's house when you're a kid and being like, I want something else?
That's crazy.
I would be like, whatever you're getting, it's fine. Whatever you guys want, it's fine. You don't announce that you're getting something totally different from the kids who are paying. Yeah.
Yeah. No, if I was at a kid's house and like, we're having halva smoothies, I'd be like, fine.
Great.
That's great.
My favorite.
I never get tired of them.
Again?
I had one this morning. So fantastic.
To one day is okay.
No.
That's astounding.
We're in a new world order where everyone just goes, I don't want burgers. I don't want fries. I want this. And then the other person goes, well, I want this. I don't want that. And it's like the notion of multiple restaurants. First off, the notion of a restaurant. Going to Pioneer Chicken was a bridge too far. The notion of going to Pioneer Chicken and then heading down the road to Jack in the Box.
Unthinkable.
Not something you would discuss.
No.
Not on the table.
You could take a burning log, and wave it in front of a Cro-Magnon man, and that's how my dad would have reacted if I suggested, hey, let's go to the Sizzler, and then when we're done, you know, but on the way back to the Sizzler, we'll go by Shakey's and pick up a... He wouldn't have been audible. He wouldn't have answered. There would be no answer. There'd be some fear and confusion. He wouldn't even summon an answer.
Yeah.
He'd be scared and confused with a definite no. With
a
definite emphasis on no.
How often does it happen that this Grubhub? I mean, my kid got out of the house a few years ago. It didn't really exist.
Yeah, so, consider yourself a blast or bullet dodge.
Yeah, we didn't do a lot any fast food, to be honest. But
I'm just saying.
How does it work? How much does it cost? Does anyone else here do it?
Oh, it's free. It's not.
Listen, I had the craziest. Again, this is stuff that old guys like me who come from where I come from can never understand. I was leaving my house at like 9:45 in the morning or something on like a Saturday, saw a heavy set 22-year-old woman just walking down my driveway, walking at me. And I open my front door, and she's just sort of walking toward me. And, you know, your brain goes, oh, who is this? A Jehovah's Witness? Or are they selling? They're too old to sell Girl Scout cookies. You know, or maybe it's the cosmetic lady from the 70s, you know, who's going to...
Mary Kay
or whatever. It's like
Avon Collins.
Yeah, Avon. I'm like, who is this? And she's just walking. And in her hand is a bag from Burger King. And I'm just standing there going, why is she bringing her food? Who is this person?
You're not dreaming. This actually happened.
Like, she's going to knock on my door, and she's bringing her Burger King bag with her, and then she's going to try to sell me life insurance or tell me that my address is spray painted on the screen. I have no idea who this. No. I don't know who she
Total
is.
Stranger.
And then at some point, she just like gets to me, and she just like hands me the bag. And I'm like, what am I doing with your food, lady? And she's like, grub up. Your daughter just ordered fries and chicken bits.
You were Vinny's like head's going to explode.
You were like an American seeing the boats for the first time.
You said 9 o'clock in the morning.
It could have been 10:10.
Okay. Oh, that made it so much better.
Breakfast of champions.
I was just standing. I was confused. Like, I don't know what's going on. So that is the carb-filled world that I live in. So for me to open that fridge and not start reaching for that, it's a more difficult. The degree of difficulty has been ratcheted up.
It's a gauntlet.
Now, the reason I brought a box for Vinny Tortorich is I enjoy the sausage patties and went through quite a few calories looking for sausage patties a few weeks ago on the show. And the answer that sort of kept coming back to me is they're really just pork, salt, a little sugar, a little spice, mashed up, put into a patty shape. Yeah. No one really does a deluxe or high version or small batch or whatever. But I got a couple of tweets of a couple of butchers in Minnesota or something, but it's basically the stuff you get at the Gelson's or the Whole Foods or whatever. It's just the stuff you get.
Right.
But I brought the box in to let Vinny have a look at it. Anyway, I have found the sausage patty. Easiest thing in the world because they're pre-cooked. Get your iron skillet out and just literally put it on a low flame and just kind of sear both sides a little bit.
Yeah.
Take that egg, take a couple eggs, put it in the poacher. I don't use the whole shell one. I do the one where you crack it into the thing, put a little salt and pepper in it, get it a little bit runny, knock it down on the plate with the with the sausage patty and a couple eggs, and that's a pretty satisfying breakfast, but I brought the package in to see what Vinny thought.
I'm going to give you a pass on this. There's four ingredients. The first is pork, which is all, it's a pork thing, it should be. Water is number two. Salt, spice, and sugar, I said four, five ingredients. Sugar is last. Now, which means there's not a whole lot of sugar, which makes me wonder why they put sugar at all. Carbohydrates are zero. That's the lie the government allows you to do. So there's actually sugar in the product, but according to the U.S. government, there's zero carbohydrates in this product. But it's I'm giving it a pass. You can have this.
All right.
There's not a bunch of things listed that you can't read, that the word's so long,
Gina,
you don't know what
four,
it is.
Look, you can see it from there. Four ingredients.
Pork, water, salt, spices, sugar.
Poly,
and maltodextrin. Blah, blah, blah,
yeah, exactly. So this is actually a good product. You want to mention the name for
anyone
else?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
It says Jones Dairy Farm.
I think we just got it at the Gelson's or the wherever. And they're easy, man. If it's elaborate, it's tough. If it's easy, it's a lot easier. I think 8 hockey puck size, not a stick. Like taking a hockey puck, cutting it in half, little smaller diameter, but 8 coming to thing, pretty inexpensive, done fast, super savory, super hearty, mix in nice with the egg,
sure.
Put a couple shots of hot sauce on top of the egg there, and it's good for what ails you.
Dunk it in the runny yolk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also got Sonny. Sonny's also taking to doing the planking out with me, the elbows on the plank, for a minute.
Sure.
That's his move. The best is when he's doing it, I'm doing it, I'm going 30 seconds, 25 seconds, and then Phil comes up and starts licking his face. He can't do anything about it because he's down on his elbows. I'm going 8 seconds. Phil's like, Phil's like gnawing on his gnawing on his ear.
Can you give me some good news as it pertains to Sonny?
Yes.
You mentioned talking about his preparedness, planning ahead, that kind of stuff. We were recording our latest episode of Fantasy BS last night in this very studio. And a week before, Sonny and I, we talk fantasy football and we talk about a lot of players we both own on our teams and we're playing against. So it's a lot of people. It's just a lot of names, a lot of stats, a lot of everything. We're talking, extemporaneously off the top of our heads. And Sonny, I noticed a week ago, was having a little trouble, just like, oh, what's that guy's name? How do you play this week? And I was like, I just briefly mentioned, off the cuff, I'm like, Sonny, you should write these, make notes, make a few notes. So that way you just have something to reference. I mentioned it once, just offhand. Comes in, full page of handwritten notes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kid collated binder.
He can do homework when he wants to.
But I've never seen that kid use a piece of paper and everything is off the top of his head. It's pretty impressive.
He does have a lot, but even when you have a lot
of flustered.
You just need that reference point. Like, oh, he had 10 catches or whatever that stat is. It's hard to keep them all up there.
I can see now, 25 years from now, Sonny's sitting at a huge mahogany desk. He's got 18 phones, cell phones in front of him, multi-screens. He's handling, he's juggling five parlays at the time. He's the most sought after sports
sharp
prognosticator in Vegas in the world. And then Natalia's
calling him.
Natalia's home. She's morbidly obese. She's asking, is there something called Husband Hub, where they just bring the... No, I don't want to go to a bar.
What's Stud Hub?
Yeah. Furniture Hub, Life Hub, Husband Hub. Just all the hubs, just bring them on.
No.
Bring them out. Is there a travel hub where they just bring Europe to me where
Italian,
I don't have
why
to...
Why do we have to have this conversation on a Sunday morning?
There's no Husband Hub. You got to go out and find a husband.
Well, first you got to order Self-Esteem Hub.
Yeah, Self-Esteem Hub.
Fix Me Hub.
Yeah.
Anyway. Good news.
No, don't worry. We're all going to be working for her. Do not worry about it. She's already announced she's going to be an attorney over with Garrigus.
Oh, sweet.
All right. And speaking of planning, one of the things I'm very interested in, and we talk about it quite often in life, that the people, everybody wants something out of life. And that sounds too basic.
Hold on. Good night, everybody.
We have wishes. We have wishes. Sometimes those wishes are for people to help us, you know, lend us money, help me move, give me a ride to the airport, give me a blowjob, all the things. I mean, your life is kind of a laundry list of, can you work for me? Can I work for you? Can you pay me? Can I pay you to do this? What's the incentive? How can I get you to do these things? The people that are better at it tend to be more successful. I don't know too many guys. Like, I don't know these guys well, like Mark Cuban well, but I bet he has a lot of really good relationships.
I bet
there's a lot of, I've always cited Kimmel in that. Then Kimmel goes out, finds people, has good relationships with them, and then they come around and they help him and they contribute to his life.
I think that's more important in business these days than actually being a shrewd, like, negotiator. That helps, of course, but like having good relationships and being like easy to work with.
It's a reputation. Yeah, people want to work with you. And
given the choice, I would take that.
As counterintuitive as it sounds, some people figure out the more you can do for other people, the Jimmy Iovine sort of way, which is the more I do, more service I provide for these people, mm-hmm. the richer
right.
I get.
Right.
So I was on the phone with my dad 10 minutes before the show started.
Speaking of having business acumen.
He was asking if I could pay for a sleepover nurse at his house.
For real?
Yes. And does Grubhub deliver nurse Filipino nurses? Get them on the blower.
And they're off hours.
And then also, I've also thought about how some people have no ability to understand what the relationship is versus what you want from that person versus, you know, the family member, the person we talk about is always kind of hitting you up for a loan and never paying it back. How they don't realize. And then Christmas comes around and they don't get you a sweater. Right. And you're like, how far that person is getting pushed out of your life and how little they're going to get and how small their world becomes, where Jimmy's universe just keeps expanding. There is no limit to who he knows, who likes him, who wants to work with him. It just keeps expanding. And the folks that always have their hand out are always rattling the can, theirs gets like narrower and narrower. It's an aperture that's just getting turned in.
Yeah.
And you see those people, like they're at home and they go, I need a ride. And you're like, don't you have friends? Or don't you know anybody? Yeah. And they're like, I don't know. Like, all they do is ask for stuff till eventually they get to this point where they just have a beanbag sofa and no friends and no rides and no help and no anything. And I've always seen it in my family, and I see it in individuals, and I understand the initial greed part, which is, I want some stuff from that dude, but I don't want to give him any of my stuff.
Right. And I will have won.
Right. But that is a very small battle, and then this is a war that's going to take place over 80 or maybe 85 or 90 years. Understand, if it's all just, I don't see what I can get from that dude, it gets so narrow so fast that eventually you have no one in your galaxy.
It relates to one of my favorite phrases, idioms, which is, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. You might, you know, be up a few bucks in the short term, but look at the long view, man. You stand to benefit, you know, over the, by being, by acting differently, by carrying yourself differently.
Right. And the part that I always really find interesting in a sort of sad, but yet morbid curiosity kind of way, is when people can't do it. Like famously, when my dad wanted me to lease him a luxury car and he kept driving his wife's CRV over to my house, and I kept saying, you got 10,000 miles left on the lease of the Jag and we got to turn it in 2 weeks. Drive the Jag, would you?
Right.
And he would just drive. The next time I saw him, he'd be in the CRV again, and then he'd go, hey, how about the lease? And I'd go, how about driving the car I lease you? And he'd go, oh, I didn't know it was a big deal. You know, and it was like literally fighting.
But why would he want to?
What he wanted. I don't know if when these people have it, I don't know if it's a form of pride or a combination of sort of pride meets cheapness, like this car got 2 miles a gallon better, meets there's a lot of you're not the boss of me. And it's right, I'm not the boss of you, but guess what? If you want to borrow money, I am the boss of you, bitch. Like there's a lot of, hey, you don't talk to me, you don't tell me, right, go buy your own fucking warehouse, go start your own shit, and then no one will be the boss of you. This thing where I'm going to show up, I'm going to ask for shit, but no one's the boss of you? Yes, they are the boss of you when you're asking them for shit.
Yeah, be independent and no one will have to, you don't do anything.
Let's full circle this. Let's go back to Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said a few things about Sonny today. One is that he's eating eggs so that he can get ready for Easter or Halloween.
Right.
So he knows how
Easter would have made more sense in a weird department. Yes.
But, you know, he's delaying gratification. That's always big whenever you're trying to be successful.
Sure.
Brian mentioned that they're doing a show together.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, so he's showing initiative. Do you see where he's going in Daddy's footsteps?
Mm.
Because you've said to me in the past on this show that Sonny is not particularly the best student in the world, but neither were you, according to you.
No,
so do you
according
think
to the
he's
records.
According to LAUSD.
According to God. According to the ceiling tile in every class I was in.
But do you see a chip off the old block here where the kid's got initiative, he can remember stuff off the top
of his
head?
He's got drive. He's got drive. And even though this is uncomfortable, I guess we should just bring it up right now. He told me last night you were out, Max Kellerman's in.
Oh, Jesus.
He said you were good, but he's looking for great, and he's friends with Max.
Max is
and
a
Max
talent.
Brings some juice.
No, he's a talent. I mean, he's a name, too.
He was kind of a prodigy as a child as well with his boxing. I mean, he's pretty encyclopedic with boxing. Anyway, I didn't want to bring it up on the air, but if we're going to take this deep a dive, Kellerman's in. You're out.
It hurts,
you can work on the show.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm not saying you can't be here.
The show I created, I can still work on it?
Saying you...
Okay.
Well, stick around Hollywood long enough, you see things don't work that way. Guess who doesn't own the man show? Just kind of hang out behind the scenes.
Answer a few phones.
Feed Sonny some stats. Yeah. He'll be wearing an IFB.
Yeah, put some stuff on the screen.
Put some stuff on the screen, yeah.
Book some top-notch guests.
And you'll
guests.
Love Kellerman. That guy's a crackerjack.
I'm a big fan.
Anyway, sorry.
Can't wait to see what he does with the show.
Yes. So I was... it's kind of a weird game, but I will do this thing, which is, it's a funny little test I'll do it with my dad sometimes. I'll do it with sort of anybody who wants stuff just to see like sort of how focused they are. So I talked to him. He wants some help with the night nurse financially. That's fine. I get it. So I said, I was out of town. I was out of town for 4 days. I was doing a big car race, and now I'm back, so I think we can work on scheduling this. And he went, okay. Now, it's $24 an hour, and it's whatever. And I thought, anyone else would go, hey, what happened? How'd the race go? Or like, what? Because I'm in, I need some money mode, and even though I'm not interested in you or car racing, I'll feign a little interest because we're on a conversation, and the subject of the conversation is, can I have some money, and then how much? So that's when you start going, oh, well, that sounds like a
you
great
play show.
That sounds like a great time. I wish I could have been there. Yeah. And then you go, all right, now let's talk.
No, let's talk. I could go on all day. But
the funny thing is he'll never do that, which is weird, but I just realized that's why he needs money at age 88 and a half, right, or whatever, however old he is. The reason he needs money is because he never had the ability. Kimmel's not going to need money, not because he's made a whole bunch of money, but because he has so many relationships, yeah, that there's never, his universe is so expansive that there's never going to, you know, he'll hire Matt Damon to be a wet nurse.
Yeah, and that'll, overnight nurse.
That'll be that.
Wet nurse.
But I tried to make it insulting.
I like it.
I don't understand that. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. Many people have it. It's not discussed. We don't really discuss it. You know, we say stuff like, hey, be a good friend. Right. You know, do the right thing or something. But we don't really discuss this kind of part of that, yeah, of that, life in business.
As it pertains to that, and it's consistent with your dad, whether it's that, whether it's the Honda CR-V, any of those things all fall under the category of, this is a lesson I really want to make sure Tessa knows. Something may not be important to you, but recognize when it's important to someone who's important in your life. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
if it's important to someone who you deem important, make it a priority, or at least lean that way.
People have to know you care about their life. Who's Tessa?
That's what I'm saying. If it's someone important in your life, you'd pay attention.
All right, we got questions.
Eat your sausage.
Up here. Yeah. I got to tell you, it rages on. Me and Damashek argue about it all the time. So, but I will say this, in the link sausage versus the patty sausage, because, you know, Damashek will be over there. He'll be a link man. But he also announced that Honeycrisp apples was a fruit of the year. So he's obviously, he's off the reservation. He's insane. But I will say this. The sausage patties are kind of hard to find, and oftentimes Olga or Lynette will just come back with the link sausage, and it's fine. It's good. It's the same thing in a different form. But here's the one element. The link sausage takes a little tending to when you're cooking it. You have to keep kind of moving. You can't just put on one side, put on the other side. Yeah. The flat patty sausage, you put on one side for 4 minutes, you flip it once, push it down a little with the fork, sear it a little bit, it's done. There's no keeping an eye on it. There's no kind of
rolling it around.
It's got the one burnt stripe on it because the phone rang. You don't have to do that. And for that alone, it is worth making
the switch. As it pertains to the breakfast sausages specifically, or all, because you like, you know, links and like hot, you know, hot.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, only breakfast. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, kielbasa is a different discussion. All right, speaking of stuff I'd like to wash down a kielbasa with, Dos Equis, man. College football season is here. And let's remember, little exaggeration makes a story a little more interestante. Wait. Interessante. That's what I want to say.
LA your whole life. Right?
Interessante. Yeah, but we'd say like limpiere, like clean up, or where's the ladder?
Trabajo, mas.
Pick up the trash. We didn't get into who was interesting.
Oh, that's really interessante, Adam. An interesting weekend.
Thank you. Yeah, Dos Equis, only beer Steve Spurrier stopped for every time the crowd carried him off the field shouting, take me away. That Dos Equis isn't going to drink itself. But most importantly, remember to keep it interessante. That's right, this college football season with Dos Equis, official beer sponsor of college football playoffs. Drink Dos Equis responsibly. 2018, imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. It is Dos Equis. All right, so we have Eat Your Feelings, and we got a call up here.
Yes, sir.
And we had Vinny, who's going to tell us about some things we could eat on a football Sunday or a football Saturday that might be a little less offensive to the body. What you want to start with, Vinny? What do you got, Vinny?
Yeah, you know, we talk about this every year. This is the third year.
Oh, wait a minute.
What's that?
So that's interesting. I just looked up, and so the guy's looking, getting back in shape for an FBI job. I think it's kind of interesting. He wants Vinny's suggestions. I think let's just talk to him, and then we'll give out the recipes. Steven?
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Yeah, I was going to call and see what Vinny thought. I'm getting back in shape. I'm applying for the FBI, and just they require a physical fitness test as part of their entrance. So, Vinny, it's basically you got to run a 300 push-ups to exhaustion, sit-ups in a minute, and a mile and a half. And so you do all those four things. So I'm working on getting back in shape for that, and I know from my past when I train, I always get real hungry after you work out, and what kind of your tips were for in terms of what you eat after you work out to kind of edge off that craving in terms of hunger.
By the way, you have to be in terrific shape to sit down in some motel in Connecticut and go, how many beers did Kavanaugh have at that party? I mean, was it a pony keg, or were you guys doing keg stands?
Was it the mouth or the butt, or both?
How much boofing?
Are we talking tall boys, IPAs?
How do you play Devil Triangle?
We rolling rock? Yeah. What do you guys, malt liquor? What are we talking about here?
I know Leinenkugel's big in your area of the world.
Yeah, I feel like that's all it is nowadays. Yeah. Right? So what is a 300-meter
sprint.
And what do you? What kind of time do you need in that 300?
So they give you points based off of however you perform in each category. You got to score a certain score and at least 1 point in every category. And so like a 300, I'm shooting for like a 48-second 300. Somewhere in that range. So
Vinny makes a face like
there.
That's cute.
What's your mile and a half? What are you shooting for in the mile and a half?
I'm trying to get back around 10 flat. I ran cross country and track.
Well, you ran cross country.
I ran cross country and track. I used to run like a sub 17 5K. So right. I think I can get there on the mile and a half.
How old are you, Steve?
34. That's the tough part. I've got 10 years of not being in shape on
That's
right
not
now.
The tough part. Actually, you can get into better aerobic shape as you get older, believe it or not.
Okay.
Great. I did some of my best times on long-distance bike races in my late 40s, better than I did in my early 30s. So, you know, don't look at your age as being a detriment, especially when it comes to aerobics. That's number one. Number two, do a lot of zone two aerobics. Before we even get to what you're eating, and let me explain what zone two is. Zone 2 is between 70 and 79% of your aerobic capacity, which means you want to have your heart rate between 70 and 79%. So here is the quick math so that you don't have to go to some lab and pay $400. Take 180, not 220, not what the aerobic teacher told you back in 1983 when you weren't born. Take the number 180 and subtract your age. So that brings you to 146, I'm guessing, I'm doing math right.
Yeah.
So you're not a couch potato right now, so you can add 5 or 6 clicks to that. So let's say 151 will put you smack dab in the middle of your, like, right at about 75%, so you're between 70 and 79% of your aerobic capacity. So the more volume of aerobics you can do right there, meaning the longer you can run between 70 and 79%, of your aerobic capacity is going to help you run faster. You don't have to do speed work. That's one of the big misnomers that happens when people are trying to get faster. I train a lot of people who do Boston marathons and all, you know, they're trying to qualify for Boston and every program has this day of speed work. And usually that's when people get hurt. So I keep everyone right in that range and it works like a charm. You want the volume to be in the amount of time you're doing it and not in how fast you're doing it. So that's number one. And that's going to help you with the 300 as well as going a mile and a half.
Vinny.
Yeah.
Let's say you're on a treadmill.
Right.
And you're Steven. At approximately, just guessing, what speed are you running at?
It depends on what kind of shape he's in. Because one person might walk into their zone two. Other people can run an 8-minute mile. I can run probably right now, I'm out of running shape, probably a 9-minute mile in my zone two. If I was in really good shape, I can run a 7.5 or 8-minute mile.
So it'll move all over the place.
Yeah, it literally moves as you get stronger. So it's almost like a diesel engine. You're getting more torque out of less RPMs as you're getting into better shape.
Nice, so sound like Glenn.
Think of it that way.
Yeah.
So as far as the eating, if you're feeling hungry after your workouts, it's because you didn't fuel up correctly before your workouts. You shouldn't feel... Look, I went to the gym this morning and spent an hour and a half, and I haven't eaten since breakfast, and I don't feel hungry. It's because the reason you get hunger pangs or pains, either way, is based on ghrelin and leptin being released. They're hormones that make you feel hungry. So if you're eating something sugary or something carby up front, obviously when you're done, you're going to feel like you need to eat something else, and the first thing that's going to be there are carbs. So I always say the cheap man's steroid is a lot of red meat, eat a lot of eggs with the yolk, get these kind of foods in you before you work out, and then you could go all day long and not have to worry about it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And that whole bro science window of opportunity, you know, like, oh, you got 30-minute window after you work out. That, I don't know who created that, but if Jack LaLanne were alive today, he would literally throw up if he heard that.
All right,
I went
great.
To Jack LaLanne's house and made smoothies out of like hamburgers and ice cream and stuff using one of his smoothizers. And he sort of understood we were doing a comedy bit, but not really.
Still didn't like it.
Did not like
it's
it.
It's a lifestyle.
And his wife, of course,
Elaine LaLanne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a De Tomasa. Drove a De
Tomasa. He had a De Tomasa?
Yeah. Not the Pantera, the real De Tomasa.
You know, the Pantera had a Ford 351 Cleveland in it.
Mm-hmm. 351 Cleveland. Yeah.
Yep.
Not a Windsor,
wow.
But Cleveland. Thanks, Stephen. Good luck. Call us after you make the team.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I guess I got to get a background. God.
I think it's pretty extensive.
Yeah. Think about how far I wince every time I think about somebody looking back to my high school and before that. But again, the stuff was so bizarre and macabre, I think people would just write it off as insanity.
Urban legend.
Yes.
It couldn't possibly have gone down.
All right, Vinny, sorry. Foods and eating our feelings with Gina Grad and football foods.
Yeah, you know, we talk about it every year, and everyone wants to know what they could get away with. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a little different tag this year than I've done in the past. You want to do what Sonny's doing. You want to control it up until you get there. Folks, if you remember last year, Adam was telling me he was gaining weight right before the Oscars. It was after a long football season. And what I figured out was he was giving Natalia flapjacks with chocolate in it for breakfast. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't finish it. And he said, oh, I would finish those. And I'd go over to the shop and I would sit there and drink beer with the guys, and then, you know, Zeke's would show up with barbecue. Was it called Zeke's or Zeke's or something?
Zeke's.
And I would eat that. So it was a whole day of debauchery.
Yes, it was a day of debauchery.
Try to keep the debauchery to a limit, right? You know you're going to enjoy some seven-layer dip or anything like that, so don't start screwing up at breakfast. Make it just compartmentalize as much as you can.
The window of negligence.
Yeah, yes, and don't just go willy-nilly. Look, if you want to do chicken wings, that's one thing. But, you know, if you're doing chicken wings and then you're grabbing a seven-layer dip with all these chips and all
that. What are you going to dip the seven-layer in without the chicken wing?
Well,
so you're saying
you have to keep it to a low roar.
I'm with you. I always, almost always, not necessarily for caloric effect, but for gratification. If I know we're going out to a good dinner that night, it's always super easy all day and looking forward to this
dinner.
So yeah, take it easy going in. But the foods themselves, I mean, we've all done the math on the protein versus the carbs. But what are some like you said, like chicken wings, not the breaded chicken wings.
Right.
You know, what are some foods that we could enjoy that are more traditional to a football Sunday that don't offend? I mean, they're going to be bad. Like, you take something like a quesadilla. Now, I'm always interested, like, okay, quesadilla, it's got cheese,
right,
and then it's got the tortilla. So we don't like the tortilla, but we like the cheese. But then I take a look at a sub sandwich, like a hoagie, and I go, well, that looks like a lot of bread. And then I look at a quesadilla, and I go, that looks like some bread, but not as much.
Not as offensive.
Not as much. And we're not going without. It's football Sunday.
Right.
Would it be better to order quesadillas?
You're better off with the quesadilla all day long, and you can pile more stuff on it. Personally, I do weird stuff. When I do it, no one comes over to my house, oddly enough. No one wants to be around. But I'll do like a big Italian antipasto. I'll have the black olives there and the anchovies and the cheese. And I even drizzle my cheese with the great olive oil. And I bring all this stuff out. You
Take
know,
it for one.
Yeah, it's, like, it's a very sad party. Well, one day, Nick Santori, he goes, hey, I'll pick you up on the way to Corolla. I said, I don't think they want me there. Just drive on past. You know, it's like
too much.
It's like drinking with Dr. Drew on an airplane. It's so he's like working on his boards. You know, it's like I got to recertify, and I'm like, I'm great.
And every time he looks over, he's like, Like, what's the noise?
And then I start getting angry at him, like, stop doing homework. We're in first class. And he's like, I got to get recertified every 7 years. And it's a bummer. Yeah, you don't enjoy yourself.
Exactly. But you don't want to just keep piling
up. Not drink.
Yeah. Your hands are
you
tied.
Have to drink. That's right.
Yeah, it's sad being me. I watch football alone. Gina, would you like to come over?
I hate football.
Gina, go over there.
Gee, thanks. I live with a Brit. She thinks football is soccer. You know, it's bad in my house. Right. But, you know, I try to do things like that. I have a thing of endless rant, speaking of Dr. Drew, that I got from his birthday party. I've been planning on drinking that. But every time I watch football, I've been pouring a scotch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it kind of offsets the other stuff I might try.
I get it. And so it's like, get the guac. Mm-hmm. Do a quesadilla versus a hoagie.
The salami and cheese.
And the salami and cheese platter and nice all that kind of stuff. And olives and almonds and oil and olive oil and all that. All right. I mean, it's all the stuff we know. Just stay away from that and get a little more into this. And I think the one part that nobody really figures out is stay away from all the summery fruit. And the fruit juices as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's hard. And look, the message this year is don't try to be perfect. Don't figure, oh, I screwed it up on Sunday. I'm going to screw up Monday and the rest of the week. Sunday is one day. Compartmentalize it. Do it. Have fun. Move on.
All right, Gina, speaking of moving on, you've got your feeling state.
I do.
Mm-hmm. We have an intro to that. I saw something out there. It looked delectable.
Sounds good. Ooga, chaka, ooga, ooga. She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night. And ever since then, her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
Okay, so I knew we were going to be talking about football snacks and things to eat at a football party. Do you call them football parties?
That's exactly what they're called.
So I decided to do something a little basic, a little simple, something that everyone can do. Of course, I have to tweak it and add a few things, but everybody loves spinach and artichoke dip.
Sure.
So I made a baked spinach and artichoke dip, and I added shaved roasted Brussels sprouts and bacon and sautéed onions.
So good.
And we were talking about things to dip in, and I know Vinny loves these. I made homemade cheese crisps.
Nice.
So these are instead of chips.
Yeah, instead of the chips, because Vinny's like, do the guac.
You can
like,
absolutely do them with cheese crisps.
Dip my pinky in there?
Either cheddar, which can get a little bendy, so I had to crisp them up on the skillet, or Parmesan crisps, which crisp up nicely in the oven. But these are cheddar. And so you can just kind of put a little bit on your chip if you want. I brought carrots, too, if whatever you're into. But I kind of like it a little tangy, so I used full-fat Greek yogurt instead of sour cream with mozzarella and garlic and Parmesan and all the usual suspects. You like it?
Delectable.
Oh, good. Thank you. So, yeah, I just thought just because I love cruciferous stuff, I like the cauliflower, I like the Brussels sprouts. So I did the shaved crispy Brussels sprouts in there with the canned artichoke hearts and the spinach and everything else. A little bit of bacon because, you know, it is the culinary apology. And I bake everything just so the top is nice and crisp and bubbly. And I made a whole giant pan of it because I felt so guilty when not everyone gets to try it. So it's all out there.
Well, Adam, you would have this, right, at the shop on Sunday. This would be a great thing.
Put it on
right?
your chip.
It comes out in his apron.
I would
I can see Santori eating it.
No, I would love this. I don't know where to get it. No, I mean, you don't have to, but somebody, I don't know, somebody's got to figure this out, right? Can Grubhub deliver Gina stuff over to my football party?
It's amazing.
It's so easy. I love anything that's one pan casserole stuff that you just bake, because when you bake something, it crisps it up. It makes it more umami, geschmacked, if you're Jewish. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves that.
As it pertains to the football parties, as you call them, is there a version where you don't crisp the top? Because the dipping aspect would be a little more difficult.
Absolutely. You can just do everything and put it in a bowl.
Right.
I just like stuff that's baked and crispy on top. You can absolutely skip that
I know
part.
You love bacon. Max Pat reminds me of the hardest I've laughed in the last 18 years. Remember you were with me?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
We're out shopping for kitchen cabinets together.
That was already weird enough, but sure.
The woman who was showing us the kitchen cabinets did that move where she opened the door and the big pneumatic arm came out, the big mixer that turns the bowl itself, and she said, does your wife bake a lot?
Which led to Adam just laughing maniacally in her face.
Messed up.
Well, my only options was, no, she just bakes a medium amount. Yeah.
What would you consider a lot? Is every day a lot?
Does she really not cook?
Well, she did a lasagna that was pretty good.
Well, you know when someone dances really well, it's like, that guy cooks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can pop and lock. She really can. Like Lynette does two things.
Beatboxes.
She can do funny impersonations. God help all of you. She'll do all of you at home when you're not around.
Oh, I'd love
that. I don't like this at all.
Super funny. She can beatbox really well, and she's a really good dancer. Like she can do
I'm jealous.
80s, 90s sort of black chick dance in a video stuff. Like,
why has she not been a guest on a live show?
I don't know.
We gotta get her house.
Gotta get her up there. But not a lot of baking. But she cooks the kids some stuff.
Besides lasagna. Can she make a cake and that kind of thing? Does she do all that?
She can make a cake if the cake comes in a giant tube and you cut off a thing that's the shape of a cake and lay it down.
You're not kidding, are you?
Well,
come on. All joking aside, just for a second.
Can she make a cake? The answer is the world will never know. We'll have to ask Mr. Al. I don't know. I cannot say no definitively.
Mr. Al.
But I certainly can't confirm it through seeing a cake being baked.
Through evidence.
I don't know. When her and Natalia make cookies, we get the log and cut the the manhole covers off and put them in the oven.
You don't get the Vitamix out from the cabinet.
Yeah, I was like, my thing is like, it's not even baking cookies doing.
That's warming
not
up.
Really making cookies.
Up.
But
go to Mrs. Fields and get that.
But she does, she cooks. She cooks breakfast for the kids. Probably made Sonny his egg this morning. Did an impressive lasagna a few weeks ago, I must say. But not a lot of baking. That's all.
Christy made a coconut curry spaghetti squash.
Gosh,
for lunch today! For lunch!
All right. Brian does. He likes joy knife. These are the, I can't keep my, stories. I can't keep my wife out of the Home Depot. She never.
That's right. She's constantly researching cars. I think she is.
All right. This is unbelievable. Really
you like it. Great.
It's great. I'm not going to make it at home. Lynette's not going to make it at home. I'm not going to have you make it for us. I would buy it off you, and you'd go like, won't. But the way I'm wired is I would not, you don't get it. Like, I would not accept it without a price on it. But is there some entity that would do this? Because I would love this stuff all day long, football or not. But
Olga?
Yeah. Olga's borrowing my van.
Olga's
set up a flower
She's
arrangement
being a wedding
right
planner.
Now.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I want to give credit where credit is due. The basic recipe I found for the baked dip is thecomfortofcooking.com, and the recipes and all the ways I tweak it and all the pictures will be up later at adamcarolla.com under the Eat Your Feelings page.
There is go out, and I'll just tell you.
Eat your feelings. Do some healthy eating.
In a world where somebody goes, well, we substituted the bean curd for the beef or whatever. In a world where when you go healthy, there's a little drop,
or
this, then it's non-alcoholic beer, but it tastes pretty good, but not really. Or it's a low-carb something, but it tastes all right. Or this is there's no drop off here between this and whatever your favorite food is. None at all.
Good.
All right. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge, and we'll get on with our lives here. Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your question for Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times!
Three times, fool!
Stronger against viscosity. breakdown, leading full synthetics. We got a question, Max Panna?
Yep, this is from Instagram. Gorilla912 wants to know #CastrolChallenge. From listening to you for years, it sounds like you prefer turbo over supercharger. Why is that?
Well, I love efficiency, and I think people mistake my shutting off the lights or take that water. You know, I hate walking around seeing half-drunk bottles of water, and I'll just walk them outside and dump them into the planter. It's not the money. It's the waste. It's the efficiency. It's the throwing it away. Turbocharging runs off the exhaust. The exhaust from your car, like a river, like a gas river, not gasoline, but a vapor river, goes out, gets pushed out, and you know, it's like a blower, like a leaf blower, and it goes out and it hits a impeller on the turbocharger and it starts spinning it, and the other propeller starts going the other direction. It starts sucking up fresh air, and then it starts ramming air into your cylinder. And the more fuel and the more air you can ram into that at a faster pace, the more horsepower you're going to create. So it's taking this runoff, which is essentially, it's like, it's a river, and we put a water wheel on it. Now we're powering the shop with it. It's still just a river. Would have just kept going by anyway, right?
You're just harnessing it.
The supercharger is like saying, we're going to power the factory. I have a big diesel engine, and we're going to hook the strap up to the engine. So it is actually robbing power from the crank. It's a belt that's going from. Now, it works. It makes tons of horsepower. There's good applications for it. But emotionally, I like the turbo. And again, I just got done driving that Porsche 935 with the twin turbos on it. And it makes a sound that if you could turn down the generic rock enough, you would love the sound of that twin turbo.
The clearable
Porsche.
Rock.
Mm-hmm. And you can tweet us your questions at Adam Carolla Show with your hashtag Castrol Challenge. All right, good answer. I drew a picture with the river and everything and the water wheel and going by and all that stuff. All right, let's see. You got my. you have an original clip of True Grit where Glenn Campbell's explaining his name, LaBeouf. Nice. LaBeef.
Wow.
Okay.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that one coming either.
Who found this?
Kalen Bean.
Good job,
Kalen Bean.
You're late, Mr. LeBeouf. The French is LeBeouf. I call it LeBeef.
Wow.
There you go.
There it is.
Explained very nicely.
Drew Michael is coming in here. I'm excited to talk to Drew Michael. I watched his stand-up special on HBO and was moved by it. I thought it was really artistic, really funny, and just from a whole bunch of different angles. I loved it. So he's going to be in here in a second. Vinny, what you can do is you can check out you can go to Fat, a documentary. You can contribute to the documentary at fatdocumentary.com, and you can follow him on his Instagram and send us all those wonderful tweets about losing 100 pounds. It must be the best part of your job, Vinny.
It really is.
PureVitaminClub.com. Start every day with a handful of Vinny's wonderful vitamins and the salts, and it's all pure, it's all great. And PureCoffeeClub.com as well. And we start our day with that as well, with our nice thick cream on top. Okay, we'll take a quickie break, and then we'll do good sports and bring in Drew Michael next.
Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole. October 13th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Come on out and enjoy some endless rants, blended mangria cocktails, plus truckloads and truckloads of guacamole. The World Championship of Guacamole, October 13th. The event is free. You get to taste guacamole and vote for your favorite. And hear live music from Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Think your guac has what it takes to take home the championship belt? Only 50 entries are available, so hurry. Get your registration form now at officialwcog.com. That's officialwcog.com. The World Championship of Guacamole is coming. Guactober 13th at Sea Legs.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Today's Good Sports is brought to you by the fall's most kick-ass new drama, and it kicks off Wednesday, October 10th. All-American premieres on the CW. Suspense and superhero mastermind Greg Berlanti, producer of Riverdale, which, by the way, my kids are hooked on that show. It is a great show. Riverdale and Black Lightning is now about to kill it in the sports genre. Inspired by local football hero Spencer Paysinger, a high school football phenom from South Central, gets recruited to play in Beverly Hills. Well, you get it. Fish out of water. Tay Diggs plays Beverly Hills high school coach Billy Baker, former star player who sees himself in Spencer, but coming off of two losing seasons. He also sees Spencer as job security. Drama. Drama. Catch the series premiere of All American Wednesday, October 10th on the CW.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we still have a lot to get to. There's another weekend of college and pro football upon us. Like we talk about, the puck is going to drop. The basketball is going to be tipped off. October is, in fact, the greatest sports month for the sports fan who has a wide range of interests. Before all that, though, Ace, I'm wondering, we were talking yesterday about about being a man and does your esteem for me as a man, not that you ever really consider me much of a man, more a guy than man, but yeah, either way, this came up recently on Dave's of Thunder, and everybody was slack-jawed. I've never mowed a lawn in my life, and at this age, I probably never will. What do you think about that?
I'm trying to think. I grew up, we had a sort of dirt lawn, so it didn't need to get
same
mowed.
That's why
often.
We didn't no we didn't have a dirt
and we had a push mower, and every once in a while I would push the push mower. The push mower is the worst device ever. Like it sits outside, the action is bad, the blades are dull, and you just keep like working that.
Those are still around in are they, does anybody use that now? Like it must be so sort of embarrassing. Like, yeah, we didn't get the one that with the gas that smells so good and makes the big noise and everything. Just the regular one.
I wonder if there's a version of a push mower. If you ever see, like, if you ever go to a good steak restaurant, they have that weird powerless carpet zipper upper
right.
thing. The guy like, bup, bup, bup. The best move in the world is when the dude gets the crumbs off the tablecloth with that modified butter knife. You know, yeah. He just like does all those things.
I feel
things.
Like that's a shaming moment for me because there's more crumbs in front of me
right.
than other people.
Yeah, yeah.
They, like, why is he? What's he over you five times as long as the
right.
rest of
they
the
do,
table,
they,
Dave?
They
don't
do,
worry about
they do
it.
They do that move. It's a sort of bread Zamboni.
It is,
they just
yeah.
like wipe it all down. And then there's the guy who runs the carpet cleaning thing, the bristle brush thing that just,
yeah.
it's real lightweight, doesn't make any noise and everything. And there's a part of you that goes, that doesn't plug in. It's not, it's got no motor or armature in it, but yet wildly efficient.
Mm-hmm.
They must now make a highfalutin
newer Tesla version of a push mower that's got all sealed ball bearings and titanium this and that. Because if you think about it, going out there and pouring the gas and the two-stroke and firing the thing up and the plume of soot coming out of the thing and the blade whizzing around.
I've heard tale of it. I've not done it myself. But
if you had a good push mower that was the equivalent to the vacuum that doesn't plug in at the stake joint, that would work. I did it. I remember one time when I was living at home, I, in the height of my desperation, I was like 18 and a half or 19. I graduated high school, but I wasn't going to college. And I was just living in the garage in North Hollywood, and I didn't have a penny, and I couldn't find a job anywhere, and the economy was through the basement floor, and there were no jobs. At some point, I put a sign up on Coldwater Canyon that just said, mow your lawn or like garden work, like just garden work, and I just put my number on it, like my home phone number. So, like anyone who was traveling up and down Coldwater Canyon could just call. And I got a couple of phone calls. It was like some woman who lived in a house in like North Hollywood or Sun Valley or something like that. And the problem was I didn't have a gardening truck or anything. I had to borrow a car and like put the mower in the back of the hatch and let the handle hang out and everything. And I remember going, like, the only way I could get work is like going, I'll do the whole yard for $20 or $15. And by the time I mowed it and pulled all the weeds and trimmed everything down, and she was just telling me what to do, I'd spent the entire day there, made $15 and went home and went, your people would say, feh, to this. But it was one of the many kind of just desperation, jobless. There is no worse feeling than being a guy, having no money, having parents that have no money, and not going to college. You literally just sit around. Like I would sit around and I'd have friends go, you know what we should do? And I'd go, what? And they'd go, we could opal mine in Australia. And I'd go like, really? How do we get to Australia? And they go, well, you gotta buy your own ticket. And I'm literally talking about being a merchant marine or driving an ambulance, like just anything, just like crazy, weird. I remember after like the first war, it was like they pay $50 an hour to people who go down there, like civilians, to clean up oil fires or something like that. And I'd be like, yeah, like it's so weird.
Wait, in Iraq you're talking about? Yeah.
Like being rudderless. Being like, you know, whenever I see those stories about, I don't know, what kind of idiot? Guy gives him $10,000, puts a heroin up his ass and goes across the border. Like, I would have done that. I would have for sure done that.
Desperation.
It's just insane desperation.
Not that I'm some, macroeconomic expert or sociological expert anyway, but in case you were confused about whether or not I was. But yes, of course, it's not race related when people when a group of people commit crimes. It's out of desperation. It's a hopelessness that drives that kind of behavior. Yes, I absolutely can see.
Yes, with one caveat, it's good to have dads in the home because I would have taken a duffel bag across Tijuana, but I would have never conked anyone on the head and taken their wallet. Like I was desperate for money, but I wouldn't hurt anybody. I would have hurt myself, basically.
But now if you roll in the extra layer of this feels institutional and this feels like it's not just me, because that your thing was more, wow, I feel vague. I bet you feel like, what is it about me? Why am I in this spot and I have 60, 70 years to walk the big blue marble left and I don't know what's going to be? You get weird and desperate and depressed and everything. If it feels like this isn't my fault, this is the hand society's dealt me, then I could see then lashing out. I'm not condoning it, but
again,
I get it completely. I get that mindset.
I rode a motorcycle with no helmet in the rain. Like, I would just do stupid things, but I would never – hurt anybody else. Like, I would never, I still understood, look, you're a loser, but that doesn't mean you're welcome to that guy. Whatever's inside that guy's car, you can't break his window and steal a stereo. You can mule in drugs for the drug cartels.
But my point is that if somewhere in your brain is like, that person is a part of the institution.
Oh, yeah. If you thought that person did it to you.
Not that person, literally, but that is a group of people, the haves, and I am stuck in this spot. Either way, it's a great rich man, poor man doesn't mow the lawn. If you're rich, you get somebody else to do it. If you're poor, you don't have a lawn.
We have a 1780s guy that Matt had pulled up for one of his favorites. Again, this is you can find him on YouTube. It's an old interstitial bit I came up with when I was doing a late night show. I'd still like to do some more of these.
You should do more of these. This really is a great, great invention, as was Can Ray Break It.
It's always Adam explains to a guy who wasn't around how things work now. All right, here we go.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, the Special Olympics.
And they race them? I don't.
That was Adam Explains the Special Olympics to 1780s guy.
My favorite, I think, was internet porn. I don't know why, because we did like 10 of him just wanting descriptions or his interpretation of what I was explaining, although the joke was you never heard me explaining, but the internet porn, I think we called it internet porn. That one made me laugh because of the way the guy reacted. Is there one called internet porn or computer porn? Or?
We're searching. In the meantime, we found one on genital piercing.
Oh, all right. Well, let's hear what that one is. I have no recollection of what these were.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, genital piercing.
What kind of man would take a sharpened spear and volitionally drive it through his own phallus?
I don't...
That was Adam Explains Genital Piercing to...
internet porn. I think it was called internet porn. Oh, we can... Computer porn. There's the New England Patriots.
what was the Patriots?
That took a turn for the racial. There's the New England Patriots, I think, where... Well, you can see if you have internet. If you have internet porn or New England Patriots. Yeah, this is all up on YouTube somewhere. We just don't know how deep. All right.
And do dig up, like I say, Can Ray Break It is one of the most fascinating science projects I've ever seen. Him trying to rip the orange cones that are out on the freeway.
Traffic pylon cone, yeah.
It's just the best. All right. We'll pick this up next week then on a fresh episode of Good Sports. But for now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports, Podcast One Sports, out.